So I want to maybe get into a little bit more about how you would go through this with patients. How do you translate it to them? And you know, what we did, and we've done this before, is we asked everybody who took the survey to tell us about the last patient who, so that would theoretically be unselected. We've done this, and it's kind of it's almost like doing a study in a weird way. So you had two patients. Interestingly, Alan, yours is 35, a young woman, and Tony, you had a 67-year-old man. Maybe we can start with you, Alan, if you could kind of just reflect upon the conversation you had with this woman.
Right. So I must say one of the most disturbing things about this disease is that it's almost become a bimodal distribution in terms of age. There's a stunning change in that young people are much more likely to get colon cancer now than they were 10 years ago. In fact, in our practice, we have almost as many 35 to 40-year-olds as we have 65 or 70-year-olds. And I think many of us in big centers thought it was just we were magnets for these cases. Turns out the SEER data has caught up to it, and it is just the case.
Although, you know, I was looking at some data, and actually the numbers don't look that different to me.
So, again, I think that may be the lag time in terms of the SEER data. It's evolving, but our practices are overwhelmingly dominated by young people now.
So you had this 35-year-old woman. What was her situation, and what was her attitude about what was going on?
Right, so 35-year-olds, it's a tough case because they're not ready to hear, what do you mean, palliation. So with colorectal cancer, we often leave cure on the table for a long time. So absent bone metastases or some obviously bad prognostic factor, we'll often keep patients on the hopeful side of getting a great outcome.
Where did this woman have her disease, and how was it picked up?
This woman had a baby. She had blood in her stool for the last 3 or 4 months of her pregnancy, delivered a child, and the blood in the stool continued. And she went to see her OB and said, geez, you know, I think my liver's big.
Wow.
They felt her liver. She had massive liver disease.
Wow. Where was the primary?
Primary was in the sigmoid colon.
Hmm.
She had no special features of her cancer.
What was her workup in terms of markers?
Well, so she was RAS wild type, and she had no other special features.
No BRAF, no HER2,
correct.
No MSI, right?
Correct. And okay. We gave her FOLFOXIRI. She had a dramatic immediate response.
So you gave her FOLFOXIRI without an antibody?
Correct.
And did you go through any other options with her?
Right. So the conversation was, it's hard to talk to these young people who are not ready to hear sort of, what do you mean? What are you telling me here? So in her case, we talked about trying to avoid risk. Here she had a new baby. Her baby was 3 or 4 months old. So the last thing I wanted to do was give her a therapy that might put her at risk. She'd had a bleeding primary. I was wary about using Bev for the fear of if she bled or if she had a complication of Bev, could that be a disaster? We started with FOLFOXIRI, and when it works, within a month, she was feeling much better. There was palpable difference in her volume of disease. And she's actually been on therapy ongoing for 2 years now and has done remarkably well. So if you get a great response, you then build on it. So thereafter, we take a break. We take out her primary. We've been methodical. In fact, for a few weeks, we actually thought we had her disease-free, although that's not the case now.